Please pray with me. Forgiving God, in a world filled with so much pain, it sometimes seems that we would rather shut our eyes and be blind than to see things as they really are. Grant us the courage to face the reality of our world and give us the strength to bring your light to those who walk in darkness. Help us to see others as you see them, and forgive us when we do not trust you enough to open our eyes to the possibilities before us. Heal our self-inflicted blindness, God, and lead us in the footsteps of Jesus, the light of the world, who reveals your glory in his life, his teachings, and his love. In his holy name we pray. Amen. And now the gospel reading from John. As he walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. The disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's work might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And when he said this thing, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back, able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." And others were saying, "No, but it is someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" And he answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went, and I washed, and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, and then I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" They were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him? It was your eyes that he opened." And he said, "He is a prophet." This is the gospel of grace. Thanks be to God.
In the rite of passage, whereby adult catechumens undergo instruction before their baptism in the Catholic Church, this third Sunday in Lent is often referred to as second scrutiny. Sounds awful. Going back centuries, the scriptures we heard just a moment ago this morning are read, and the catechumens scrutinize themselves in reflection on all that it means to turn from darkness towards light, cast away the shadows of ego's self-deception, and come to a place of seeing themselves and others without pride or prejudice, but through the pure and holy eyes of God's grace and God's truth. That is the theme, of course, in both of our scriptures today. Seeing with the eyes of God, who sees with the eyes of the heart and helps us to see with more pure and holy hearts also. That is what old Samuel is told to do as he is sent by God to go and anoint David in the Old Testament lesson by pouring oil on David's head and making him king. A year or so ago, I was leading a class of our young acolytes, fifth and sixth graders, and I pointed out the glass window which depicts this scene in our sanctuary. And I told the children that old Samuel had started out as an acolyte in the temple himself and then grown up to be the one who got to anoint the king of Israel. Pointing to the window, I asked if anyone knew what Samuel was pouring on David's head. One child's hand shot up. Champagne? It was my child, who lives in my house, where apparently we watch a lot more professional sports celebrations, where they pour bubbly on the head on TV than we do read about royal consecrations, where they pour oil on the head in the Bible. The answer was telling because it was from the heart and it spoke from experience and expectation. But God is careful to warn Samuel that his experience and expectation may end him in the wrong answer. Samuel is told to go and anoint the head of one of the sons of Jesse. Samuel assumes it is Jesse's firstborn who will be the one to be anointed. He has the right appearance and the right stature. But then the Lord speaks to Samuel and says to him that it is not the firstborn son who has been chosen, nor is it the second or the third, nor any of the first seven. For the Lord does not see as mortals see, God says to Samuel. For mortals look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. It's a wonderful lesson, as the first seven are rejected and then the eighth young David is anointed. But perhaps just to show us how hard it is not to look on appearances, as soon as the young boy is anointed in the Bible, suddenly the scripture is keen to tell us just how handsome and beautiful he happens to be in Samuel's eyes. And I read that and I think, it is so hard to get away from this thing we call bias. And it isn't any wonder then why so many of the Fortune 500 CEOs are so tall and so white? Is it because, whether consciously or subconsciously, we as a society are biased to believe those are the characteristics good leaders are most likely to have? By the way, I don't have a problem with white people, but you tall folks make me really mad. I want you to know that short people can be good leaders too. Just think of Napoleon. Bias is real. But I want to suggest this morning that that isn't actually the real sin. The real sin, rather, is the failure to face our bias with the kind of honest scrutiny that can lead us to growth and to change. That is what I think Jesus meant when he said in today's gospel lesson, "If you were blind, you would not have sinned. But now that you say we see, your sin remains." Sin remains when we refuse to see it, when the fact of our own darkness is hidden by the falsity of our own light. Last month, our county commissioner's court declined approval of an unconscious bias training recommended by the personnel department for all county employees. The commissioners said that they didn't think any of our county employees needed that kind of training. But if you want to see, just how maybe we could all benefit from reflection on our own bias, I have included in the order of service this morning a link to an implicit bias test designed by Harvard University. The test demonstrates how easy it is for most of us to immediately associate words like good, kind, safe, etc., with white people, while having a much more difficult time doing so with persons of color. I myself took the test, and I will tell you that I exhibited a slight preference for white people, even though I am married to a black person. And in fact, most black people show themselves the same slight preferences for white people, according to the test. And how could they not, given all of the negative images we receive about people of color over our lifetimes? And it's not just race. At the link, you can also access tests on bias about age and weight and religion and ability / disability. And we might be surprised with just how much implicit bias we may have and not be aware of, or want to be aware of. But humbling as admitting our own skewed vision may be, Jesus says in the gospel story that he has come to give sight to those who have come to see their own blind spots. The disciples and the Pharisees have a bias against the beggar man born blind in today's gospel lesson. They presume something must be sinful about this man. They presume he has earned his lot in life. And I read that text and I think to myself, what terrible things we have done to those with disabilities by equating their being and their bodies with sin. But Jesus is very clear in this text. This man was not born blind because of his sin, he says. But in order to see that, in order to see this man in a new light, they will have to put away an old way of looking at the disabled and pick up new eyes in order to glance again. Pick up new eyes to truly see this man in his real humanity. Lent is a season of reflection. Literally, reflection is about seeing things again in new light. The sermon title this morning is Seeing with the Eyes of the Heart. The truth of the matter is we always see with the eyes of the heart. But Lent is a season for us to give a kind of second scrutiny to what we see and asking God to give us new hearts in order to truly behold. Some of you know that yesterday my dad was placed on hospice care. And I want in this sermon to thank all of you who have expressed love and concern. Dad was never a great churchgoer, to say the least. And he was always a little rough and tumble, and everyone pretty much knew it. In fact, when we lived in Lubbock, I used to joke that I may have been the only Baptist pastor in America whose dad was a member of and also owned a liquor store less than a mile from the church. It was called Woody's. Get your goodies at Woody's. I don't know where Woody came from. My dad's name was Troy, but anyhow. Dad was, for many years, a man of his own era. And he grew up with all of the common prejudices and biases a lot of people his age had. But I want to tell you something about my dad. Life humbled him. And I can tell you that in these latter years of his life, he has looked on the down and out and the disabled and many, many others with a whole lot bigger heart than a whole lot of regular going church folks. And I want you to know that I will never forget what it meant to me to have him give his support for my marrying Irie and for his standing there at the altar next to me as my best man. He's going to cross the river soon. It could be today. And when he does, we will sing the words of Amazing Grace, a line of which is taken from today's gospel text. Good, good words for today and every day, and for my dad. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. So may it be with all of the rest of us also. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, and Mother of us all, and together all of God's people then say, amen and amen.